All right. Well, have a good friend in Ely that has several health concerns and can't make it to worship, or at least feels like at this time can't make it to worship. And he said, "Boy, they're not wanting me to walk on the left side." Oh, you're okay. It's all right. I'll make do. Yeah, I can't move my pulpit. Anyway, all right, I'm stuck here. And he said, he gave me some good advice. I'll be honest, I think I've been honest from the very beginning. This pandemic thing has really played a number on me. I thrive off of energy and high everything. And so that's why I'm so engaged with you guys. Like, man, you got to talk to me, because I need that. That's what fuels me. And this has been very difficult, having such limited attendance and spaced out and everybody's spaced. It's just not normal. I liked it when you couldn't find a seat back last February, right before the whole shutdown. That was better. But yet we're getting, a couple hundred views on our live stream. And so he reminded me, you know what, speak to those people too. And I do occasionally, but I'm generally focused more on you guys. But I'm going to do my best today to speak to the folks online. So would you help me and welcome all of our brothers and sisters joining us all over the country online right now? Good morning. Yeah. Couple people generally per view, couple hundred views. I mean, there's a lot of folks joining us online. So even though there may be room beside you in here, there's lots of us scattered all over. So good morning and welcome everybody online. Glad that you're here today. I got a couple of announcements I saved for the live stream portion. And that is, last week during our live stream, several folks commented that, hey, why can't we live stream the worship? And we've talked about that from the very beginning. We would love to live stream the worship through song portion, but that brings in a whole nother level of complication. Way different technology than what we have, different microphones than what we have, more personnel to run that. It's just another step, a huge leap that we haven't yet been prepared to take. And so hopefully this thing ends sooner than we would ever need to go that route. But know that it's our heart's desire to be able to stream this worship for everybody. If you can, I believe we have a super safe environment here. Make the effort to come and join in and be a part of all of this. It's good, hopefully, either way. But anyway, that's just a quick announcement. It's not that we haven't thought about it or prayed about it or whatever. And the second thing is, and this is much more spiritual than the last announcement, has anybody tried the Snickerdoodle Blizzard at Dairy Queen? Gabe introduced us to that the other night, and I thought, man, I haven't had Dairy Queen. I'm kind of a Red Cab and custard sort of guy, so I don't usually do Dairy Queen, but he said, oh, you got to try this Snickerdoodle Blizzard. So he ran, and we got everybody a Blizzard. Oh, my goodness. Jesus is the best gift we can ever get, and the Snickerdoodle Blizzard is right behind it. Close, yeah. So try it. Give it a shot. Wow. All right. Snickerdoodle Blizzard came out. Why? Because it's Christmas time. It's Christmas season. The trees up here remind us that we are in the Christmas season. And with Christmas season comes buying gifts. Buying gifts. Now, I'm sure everybody in here has someone in your family, someone that you care about and are looking to get a gift for, that's very difficult to buy for. I seem to be blessed with multiple of those people, and I'm told that I'm definitely one of those as well. Hard to buy for. If I need something, I just go and get it, and you know what? I don't really need to open up a package. Anyway, hard to buy for. We all have someone that we love and care for that's hard to buy for. What do you do? What do you do in those cases? It's stressful, isn't it, when you've got someone that's, you don't know what to get. There's the whole money equation. We have someone in our family that's looking to get someone else a gift that's hard to buy for. And this great gift that they found is only like $5. And so they feel guilty. Well, should I even get it? Now, mind you, that's a great gift for this person. But the other one that's wanting to give the gift is like, but it's only $5. What do I do then on top of that? And We're like, I don't know, but get that. It's perfect for him. So you've got this whole money thing. How much do you spend? And should you spend? It's a shame that the birth of our Savior has gotten to be so complicated and stressful that we are even having to have this conversation right here. What do you do for the person that has everything? What do you do? Yeah. Yeah. So today we're going to hopefully solve that problem, at least to some degree. We're going to solve it on a spiritual level. You might still be stuck with not knowing what to get them. But on a spiritual level, there is a gift that we can give to others, to brothers and sisters, that is an absolute great gift, an amazing gift for any believer. And this gift is free. It doesn't cost a single thing, but it's extravagantly precious. This great and incredible gift that we can give to others can change their life. It can change your family's life. This gift will change churches from the inside out. This gift can change communities. I mean, it can even change the world. A great and incredible gift. So today we're going to be in the book of Romans, and we're going to look at one solitary verse from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. If you have an actual paper copy and don't mind writing in it or whatever, this is one to underline. As we go through today, I'll explain more and more about why this verse is so important. Romans 15, 13. So, real quickly, to set the stage a little bit for the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, most likely multiple churches. They were made up of both Jewish and Gentile believers. And so Paul had been there, and then he'd heard reports, and there was persecution, and Roman rule was dividing Jews and Gentiles. There was a lot going on under the scenes. But then as Paul traveled back and hoped to return, he heard news about what was going on at the church there in Rome and the division between the Jews and the Gentiles, and how the Gentiles weren't wanting to follow the Jewish tradition. And of course, to Jews, tradition was huge. And so there was this confusion about what should they do. And so insert the book of Romans. Now, I always say every week we have to read Scripture in light of other Scripture. We read Scripture in its entirety. And in its full context, and be careful what we get theology from. You can't get theology from poetry, and you don't want to get theology from prophecy. You have to be careful as we read through Scripture. Romans is one of those that's thick with theology. In fact, that's its purpose, is to remind believers who they were, separated from God in their sin, and how they came to faith in Jesus, and Jesus is the only answer. I mean, it's a book that we can totally trust and rely on to base our salvation and our knowledge and understanding. Paul wrote it to help the church be more solidified in the gospel and what it means to live as a follower of Christ. Amazing book, one of my favorites. If you're wanting to dig deep into God's Word, Romans is definitely one to do that in. So, Romans 15, 13, today, just one simple verse. And this verse, we can't actually even take any theology from. This is simply Paul summing up everything he'd talked about in the previous 12 verses. He kind of just prays for those people. And he was talking about believers working together, putting others' needs ahead of their own, glorifying God together as one body, even though they were Jewish and non-Jewish people together in one church. Boy, I think we can all learn a lot from that. So this verse, this single verse, sums up, or it's kind of, again, Paul's prayer for all the people that he was writing to then, as well as us today. All right, Romans 15, 13, the Scripture says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Father, thank you and thank you and thank you for your word and how it so richly blesses our lives and so clearly speaks to us today. And Lord, I thank you for this message, especially at this time of year, as we eagerly look forward to celebrating the birth of our Savior and looking forward to his soon coming return. Lord, I thank you for how you've laid this out, and I pray that you would take your word, your message, and this idea and bury it deep in our hearts. Lord, speak through me this morning, and may we all just know you and serve you on a greater level. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the idea behind today's message, the point to today's message is that every born-again believer can give this great gift by praying for others, by praying this verse for others. So I have to be careful how I go about this next little line. God has blessed my wife and I with four children, two girls and two boys. And so it's girl, boy, pretty neat. I have been blessed with the privilege of living with multiple women slash teenagers slash girls in the house, as well as other teens. And one thing I've noticed, and I'm sure you'll all agree, is that emotions can change. Emotions can change easily. And I'm not pinning anything on girls. Shame on you for going there. That's not what I meant. I'm just talking about emotions in general. Have you ever noticed that it's easy to go up and down a little bit? Very few people, I envy those of you that can stay really even keeled no matter what's going on around them. That is not me. Emotions change very easily. I noticed that I'm so not picking on Ely or the football team. In fact, it's just it's a great illustration that brings it home. But Gabe played football for the Ely Timberwolves this last year. And it was super fun to go, especially the home games, because there was more people, a bigger crowd. I mean, what a tough year for all these sports teams with almost no one in the stands or whatever. The pros, they put cardboard silhouette. Maybe we should do that in here. Put some cardboard and make their mouths move. And amen, Pastor Kurt. anyway, it's where in the world was I going with that? All right, Ely football, the stands, it's not full of fans, but what happened, I noticed, and it's not just symptomatic here, it's all over, but when something good would happen, man, the team would get pumped up, the fans would get pumped up, and things would go great until something bad happened. And the moment something bad happened, well, suddenly all that excitement got squelched a little bit. And then heaven forbid another bad thing would happen. Suddenly, it's like, wow, really down. I mean, coaches down, team down, fans down. Suddenly, people are looking at their phones and, you know, their text messages way more important than the game. And suddenly, there's a breakaway and we score a touchdown. Yay, we've got hope again. Like, maybe we can win. And then bad thing. It's like up and down, very fragile. The deal is, or what, hopelessness is bad. Hopelessness is a terrible feeling. And if you're here today and you've come through cancer or had a death in the family and you've felt that hopelessness, you understand what that's like. And may we never feel that way anymore. Hopelessness is terrible. Hope is incredible. Hope is a great and incredible gift. And so, what is hope? We're going to be talking about hope today, and we need to define and understand what is hope. And there's a huge difference between what the world says, the English language definition of hope, and the scriptural hope that we're going to be talking about here today. So the world, especially in English at least, the world defines hope as a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. And I think about that. That's a desire for a certain thing to happen. No certainty of that event happening. In fact, quite the opposite. I think in English, we think of hope like, well, the forecast for Saturday is 100% chance of rain with thunderstorms and possible tornadoes. But I hope it doesn't rain because we've got a picnic planned that day. Everything says it's going to rain. In fact, you're in trouble. But we can secretly hope for something that we pretty much know probably won't happen, but we can sure hope for it. That's what the English language, that's what hope is like. That's what we think of. Boy, the Vikings are 2-7, but I hope they win the Super Bowl this year. Probably not going to happen, but you can hope. I mean, it's like the Bears winning any sort of a game. You can hope, but probably not going to happen. Biblical hope, however, is quite different than what the world thinks of and what the English language thinks of. And there's a difference in the Old Testament and New Testament hope. In the Old Testament, hope sensed a level of like tension, a waiting for an upcoming event, just sort of an uncertainty about what it was going to be, but a certainty that it was coming. In the Old Testament, hope was like an expectation, a sense, an awareness of a coming event, a longing for that event, a patient waiting of a certainty to come in the future. Now, New Testament hope, I kind of sum up the definition, and this is like what I say. The New Testament definition of hope is the absolute assurance of an event or an outcome that hasn't yet happened. Think about the difference. The world thinks of hope as, well, a certainty, a desire for a certain thing to happen. And here, New Testament hope, the day we're living in as followers of Jesus, is an absolute assurance of an event that hasn't yet happened. It's trust. It's trust and faith, a certainty that is not yet realized. And boy, today we can sure use some hope. Our country could sure use some hope. This world would be way better with some hope. And so my prayer is that all of us would own this one single verse from Romans 15:13, that every one of us here in the sanctuary and joining us online, that we would commit to memorize this verse, to ingest this verse, and let this verse just take over. And then as we see loved ones, as we view friends and family and believers now and forever through the holiday season and for years to come, that this verse would be brought to our mind by the Holy Spirit, and we would pray this verse for others. This is a great gift that we can give by just simply praying this verse, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying this verse will change people's lives. Let's take a look at what's going on in this verse, what we do know about it. Paul begins writing, and he says, now may the God of hope. Interesting, because our God is a God of hope. In fact, he is the source of hope for all humanity. Our flesh in the English language just wars with that. It's so contradictory. When we read the word hope, we think, well, maybe, just maybe, but probably not. Our flesh has such a different understanding of hope, and yet we have to read through Scripture and understand that God is the God of hope. He is the source and the author of hope. God is the rock upon which everything is built. God, the same God that spoke the universe into existence and breathed life and created everything around us, he is the source of hope, and in him, our hope is solid. It's not this desire for something good. It's the absolute assurance that good thing will happen someday soon. May the God of hope, God is the rock, and he's the source of and the object of all of our hope. He is the absolute assurance. He's it. He's everything. He's the object of and the source of our hope. All our hope is in him. When we put our hope in him, it changes everything. May the God of hope, and look at how it continues. May the God of hope fill you. And I love this one. I'm a guy, those of you that have gotten to know me in the year now that we've been here, no, I don't like to do anything halfway. I mean, if you're going to do it, let's just do it well, do it to the best of our ability, and then celebrate that and take a break and then do the next thing well. I think that's a godly characteristic, because God doesn't do anything halfway. God is all in, or he's all out. And here God is, this God of hope, the author Paul says, may he fill you with hope. May he fill you. God doesn't just simply give us a half measure. There's no halfway with God. May God fill you with hope, with joy and peace. And I just love that as we pray for our brothers and sisters during this difficult season, as we don't even know who we should get together with and who we shouldn't, and how close can we sit, what do we do right now to keep our loved ones, especially the elderly ones, healthy. We all need hope, and may God fill us with hope. All right, what is God filling? Not halfway, but full and complete. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. God will fill us with joy and peace. Remember, I said this prayer is for believers. This is for people that have already put their faith and trust in Jesus as Lord, repented of sin, and been saved and made a brand new creation. May God fill them with joy and peace. Now, joy and peace, we know, are fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Joy and peace are evidence of the Spirit living inside us. Hope is not. Joy and peace are. Joy is I like to think of it as a smile in the midst of chaos. Joy is absolutely not like happiness. Happiness depends on our circumstances going well, the way we would like them to. And joy is a peace and a confidence and a trust and a hope in something so much greater, that through all of this, we will be made more like Jesus for his glory. Joy does not depend upon our circumstances. In fact, it's a trait and a characteristic from God. And as we know and love and trust in him, it becomes more and more evident in our lives. Joy and peace. Notice how these things go so well together. Love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness. They all fit together and one fuels the next. Peace is a calmness in the storm. It's a trust that God is so much bigger, that this rock that our faith is so richly founded upon will see us through. He will complete and accomplish what he started in us. And that gives us a peace no matter what's happening, no matter the cancer or the death or the loss of a job or whatever your struggle is. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, fruit and evidence of the Spirit. So who can have this joy and peace? Who will benefit from this? I'm just going to start at the beginning. My aim is that we would just know this verse inside out. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you believe. Who can receive joy and peace and ultimately hope? It's believers. People, again, that have trusted in Jesus and been saved and born again. Trust and faith in Jesus is the key to joy and peace and ultimately hope in our lives. The greatest gift I'll talk more about the greatest gift in a minute, but this great gift that we can give to others is praying for brothers and sisters, born-again believers, that the God of hope will fill them with joy and peace as they believe, as they trust, as their faith is rooted in the rock of ages. What happens when a person believes and is filled with joy and peace from the God of hope? It continues and it says, so that you may overflow with hope. The aim of all of this is that we would overflow with hope. I love this one. Overflowing with hope. Remember, God isn't a God of halves and half measures. Our God is so good and so powerful and so mighty. He doesn't want us just to simply have a little bit of hope that maybe we'll remember it when we struggle with something. God wants the hope that comes from him. Remember, he's the author and the source and the object of our hope to overflow out of us, to be so full of hope that it pours out of us wherever we go, and that others would would be encouraged by the hope that we now have. That's the way God is. God is so, so good. He is capable of filling us with hope to the point that it overflows out of us. When I was in high school, and I was thinking about it earlier, over 30 years ago, I know that shocks you guys. You thought I was way younger than that. Supposed to say amen. So over 30 years ago, I worked in a service station. It is the classic, you know, Todd's service station on the edge of town, and cars pull in and it dings the bell inside and you go out there to see what they need. The people didn't even have to get out of their car. We had full service gas. You could pull right in, and I would go out there and wash your windshield and check your tire pressure and fill your tank up with gas. Well, over 30 years ago, the little things that when you put the nozzle in the tank and you're filling it, that it's going to automatically shut it off, didn't always work, especially in the wintertime. At least at Todd's station, you had to be kind of careful. Don't stand real close to the tank if you're trusting that thing to shut it off, especially when there was ice and junk. Anyway, more than once, I'm filling up a customer's tank and we're going along, maybe chit-chatting a little bit, if you can imagine that, talking with someone. And all of a sudden, boom, the gas starts spraying out the tank. And usually I'm standing right there by it and I'd get covered in gas as it overflowed out of the tank because the little thingy didn't shut itself off. You'd think I'd learn after the first couple of times. But anyway, whenever that happened, whenever the gas overflowed and spilled on me, I smelled like gas. Bad. For a long time. And that's the way it is with hope. When the God of hope fills us with joy and peace, producing a hope that then will overflow outside of us, other people can smell it on us. Because we are full of the Spirit, full of joy and peace, full of the fruit and evidence of our Savior living inside us. And the hope that comes from all of that just overflows like a gas pump that didn't shut off when it should have. What's the key to all of this goodness? All this great stuff that I've talked about, this prayer that we can pray for others, this gift that we can give, what's the key to all of this goodness? Look at the very end of this verse. Well, you know what? I'm going to read the whole thing. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope. How and why? How is this possible? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key. Remember, I said from the very beginning, this prayer, this gift is for believers because it's the power of the Spirit living inside true believers that releases all of this, that makes all of this capable, all of this possible. God is the source and the object of our hope, and He is the power behind it inside of us. God, our Lord Jesus, is the object of our faith and our trust and the hope that we have in the rock of all time, that rock of ages, is built upon Him and who He is and the fact that He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, forevermore. So each of us are faced with a dilemma this holiday season. What is it that we can get for that very hard to buy for person? How much money should we spend on loved ones and brothers and sisters? What do we do? So complicated, so stressful, so confusing. What do we do? Well, if it's a non-believer in your life, first of all, the greatest gift that they could ever receive is Jesus. Dead in their sin, they're guilty and deserving of death and bad things. Jesus is the answer to all of life's problems. Jesus is the only hope that we have. If your loved one is a non-believer, help them find Jesus. Help them build a relationship with Jesus. However, if your loved one is already in a relationship with Jesus, if they are a brother or a sister, well, they may want a new set of tools. They may want a new table saw or a new backpack. They may want a beautiful custom paddle. They may want sparkly clothes, beautiful dress, or some really neat and fancy jewelry. They may want a restored vintage wood and canvas canoe. But what they need is hope. What they really need is hope. And so my prayer for you and I, for all of us online and in the future, that we would take some time, maybe today, and memorize this verse. Own this verse, ingest this verse, and then let the Spirit pull it out of us as we look at our brothers and sisters this holiday season, now and forevermore in the future, and that as we see them, that we would pray for them. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may be overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. To me, that's a great gift that you and I can give to any believer. Let's pray. Father, thank you, and thank you for your word and for this simple verse. It's not a verse that necessarily promises anything or spells anything out clearly. It's just simply Paul praying for the church. And I believe that each of us can so greatly benefit from this verse as we can help share it with others and lead others to a life overflowing with hope. Lord, you will be glorified in that. And so, Lord, help us do that for you, and more importantly, even for others. Oh, Lord, thank you, and thank you for Jesus, the real reason for this whole season. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.